We've been tracking the Twitter files dump. This is after Elon Musk came in. He promised transparency. He's been selectively giving certain journalists data dumps, curated data dumps of information. And we know now a lot of it has been around the political aspect of it. So the censoring of Donald Trump, Hunter Biden's laptop. We know through Matt Taibbi, he's one of the first journalists that actually was reporting on these, that every conceivable wing of the enforcement agencies of the U.S. government were in some way sending moderation requests to Twitter. A lot of them were being okayed and greenlit. But now we have journalist David Zweig. So what he did was he actually released the first batch of the COVID files. So we knew the censorship was happening. We saw even Peter McCullough was kicked off, Robert Malone. Mm-hmm. So many people were shadow banned, deboosted. So he started to look into these files here, this data dump. And this is what he had to say on Twitter. Very interesting points. He says there are three serious problems with the Twitter process. He says, first, much of the content moderation was conducted by bots trained on machine learning and AI. Impressive in their engineering, yet too crude for such a nuanced work. So he also goes on to say this. Secondly, contractors, you're going to love this, Dell, in places like the Philippines also moderated content. They were given decision trees to aid in the process, but tasking non-experts to adjudicate tweets on complex topics like myocarditis mask efficacy data was destined for a significant error rate. You don't say. So we have someone in the Philippines basically looking at Peter McCullough's information on myocarditis and saying, well, let's run that through the data tree. Out you go. And then he said, the third problem, as we see with a lot of these hierarchical structures, third, most importantly, the buck stopped with the higher level employees at Twitter who chose the inputs for the bots and decision trees and subjectively decided escalated cases and suspensions. As it is with all people and institutions, there was an individual and collective bias. But, you know, we've already kind of known this at Twitter. This is obviously helping the conversation. We're getting this information. We're having more people look at this. The Twitter files are getting the world's eyes on this problem, where before it was maybe just a small nuanced portion of the population that really knew this. But America's First League, they had a legal litigation against the CDC. And they came out in early December before the Twitter files, just weeks before the Twitter files dumped. And they actually gave us source documents. They had emails from the CDC to Twitter about moderation and censorship. So this is one of the emails here. We'll look at actually a couple of them. This is Carol Crawford. She's the digital media branch chief. And she writes to Todd O'Boyle at Twitter. He's one of the higher ups there. And Todd says, hi, Carol, thanks for sharing. So Carol sent over a list of people she wanted looked at to maybe for censorship, for COVID misinformation, as the subject says in the email. And he says, Carol, thanks for sharing this. Agree, these are important trends to note. A quick scan shows that at least some of these have been previously reviewed in action. I will now ask the team to review the others. Carol, remind me, he says, did you have a chance to enroll in our partner support portal? In the future, that's the best way to get a spreadsheet like this reviewed. So she's sending spreadsheets of people over there to get reviewed and possibly censored, but they have a partner support portal just like Facebook did. It's an express portal for government employees of any agency to put in their email address, and they get back-end access to these big tech platforms for moderation purposes. So they get kind of front and center, the VIP seating, if you will, to the censorship seat. So wow. Let's look at what they say next. This is what Carol says. So the Twitter guy says, hey, you want to get into our express lane? And she says this, does it need to be the CDC account or my personal? If CDC, I'm going to have someone on staff enroll me instead. So she's basically saying, I don't really want to use my CDC account. Can I have a personal account to use this? Because I don't really want it on record in case this comes out in discovery like it is right now.
It's up on the high wires somewhere out in the future.
You gotta think the CDC people are saying, I don't want my emails read on the high wire. And hold on, you're not going to be disappointed. So that actually did work. And so they used her personal email according to this email here. But remember this, this could be a trivia question. What person did the CDC celebrate most when they were deplatformed? And that, Dell, was you. And this is something we've covered. This is emails that were discovered through the Informed Consent Action Network FOIA requests to the CDC. And this is what happened when we were removed from YouTube. We have emails here showing in August 2020, that was really obviously early on, subject to the email, Dell Bigtree removed from YouTube. And this obviously was early on in the pandemic. We were nailing the facts and we got kicked out of the game on YouTube, on Facebook. No more streaming there. And let's go through here. We have Melinda Wharton. She's at the CDC. She just gives an exclamation mark. Oh my gosh. And then we have Kristen Nordland. She says, FYI. Remember, we have Nancy Messonnier on here. She's the CDC director. And then we have Carol Hayes. She just says, ah, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. So this is being passed around all the way to the director is copied on these. So this is obviously a very important subject for people within the CDC that you and the high wire were deplatformed. So throughout the entire big tech apparatus, through the Twitter files, through the FOIAs of agencies like or nonprofits like ICANN or AFL, we're getting this picture, this monolithic, these big tech platforms are almost subsidiaries of the U.S. government doing their bidding. And this is the truth of how it's happening right now in the United States.
Our founding fathers would be so proud of what's happened to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. So much work to do to bring back the light of this nation as a beacon for the world.